ESPN 93.5, sunny 95.3.
Mondays and Fridays, we garner some wisdom. Brother Johnny, today in New Orleans, Louisiana. Johnny.
Good morning, Stephen.
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, all-around great guy, number to be retired December 9th at Soldier Field. Mike Ditka, how are you, Coach?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
This is the epitome of great weather in July to play golf. Man, this is perfect weather. I mean, we're gonna have a great weekend. All right, we begin with doping and A-Rod.
Alex Rodriguez will be facing tough questions.
I have no one to blame but myself because I stunk up the house.
The New York Yankee star was talking about how last season ended. This season has been delayed by hip surgery. His recovery is being interrupted today by an appointment with Major League Baseball investigators, asking him about his association with a shuttered Florida clinic linked to performance-enhancing drugs. Rodriguez admitted doping when he played for Texas up to 10 years ago, but not since. Various reports say A-Rod and Milwaukee star Ryan Braun are on a list of players facing long suspensions. A baseball spokesman says no decisions have been made. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Mike, presumably baseball has the goods on these guys. Are they in trouble?
If they had the goods on them, absolutely they're in trouble. I didn't know they had the goods on them, and I'm not sure. I really don't understand it, how you can, and I understand the one thing about taking performance-enhancing drugs that can make you maybe stronger or able to build more muscle, but it really doesn't change eye-hand coordination. It really doesn't. So these guys are still, I don't know Ryan Braun. I just know he can hit a baseball, and I know the same thing about A-Rod, so I really don't understand it. So, I never took them, so I don't understand what they do for you.
Yeah, it's a big incentive to play well, I know, at that level, but, Stevie, you're not supposed to do it because it's against the rules, so, and that's the whole deal, but I don't know what they do either. I never took any either, and I didn't even have a good baseline to start from, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder the temptation for a kid who's in double-A ball making, $800 a month on bus trips all night. His fly balls are going to the warning track. Maybe he gets a little more juice and gets him over. He makes the bigs. He makes a lot of money. I mean, I guess because there's a lot of good players. Is the temptation just too great, Mike, to walk away from that stuff? Or they say, you know what, we can get around it this way. There's a guy telling me I can do it this way. Then I'm in the show. Then I make the money.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the thing about the temptation, let's face it, guys. I mean, if you want to be, or you want to be a wannabe, or you want to be a no-be, I mean, that's the difference. You know, you got a chance to be something special if you can hit that ball another 40 feet, in the air, things like that. I it's hard for me to comprehend because, it's like hitting a golf ball. Look at the size of guys who hit golf balls, guys. So what does it come down to? Timing and club head speed, right?
Yeah.
So basically, that's what. And I would think bat speed has the timing, and bat speed too is the whole thing about baseball. So I they got me in the dark. I don't understand because I'm watching all these little guys in golf, and they knock it a daggone mile
and hit it straight like Johnny.
Well, what? So they're probably too. You're getting into the science of it too, which I'm not able to tell our viewers what happens when you dope. They put you right over the edge on that. You may be able to hit it. And I'm sure there's some to it, Steve.
Yeah, must be. Yeah. All right, because I know a lot of guys, certainly in the era of steroids, there are lots going on, and we just kind of accepted it. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN, the new Sunny 95.3. All right, I've got to get to this thing we did yesterday with Jeff Ingram, the CEO of Health Alliance here, based in Urbana. They got, 100,000 clients around the state, big at the U of I. They cover people for health care. And with the changing scenario, they got 600 new pages, Johnny, on Friday. And not just pages of necessary changes, but they're all legal. So you have to have interpretations on every darn page. So that's complicated things. And then we learned from a caller in Royal who asked about mandatory maternity coverage for his wife. And here's how that call went yesterday.
And I'm understanding that the women will have to have the maternity on their insurance. I mean, even if a woman is not possible for her to have a child, she still has to carry that maternity on her insurance.
I've got some additional bad news for you. Not only does the woman have to do it, but the man does too.
What?
Even if a man has a vasectomy or a procedure has been done, he still or she still has to carry that on there?
Sorry, yes.
What sense does that make?
It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but under the law that was put together, we now have what's called an essential health benefits package, which requires every man and woman in this country to buy that package if you're in the individual market, which includes maternity benefits, and we don't get to carve that out because you're a man and you decide I don't need maternity benefits because I don't birth babies, right? But in today's market, you can do that. But in tomorrow's market, unfortunately, as a man, you got to buy that benefit.
That is crazy, right? I think this is in there for birthing babies. Is this? I mean, what men have to have maternity coverage? Johnny, I don't get it.
Well, Stevie, I'll tell you, I would like to start an insurance company, and for 50 cents a year, I'll offer that to men. We'll cover them. That's a low price. That's a heck of a deal. Save a little money.
I'll tell you what, you guys lost me there. I listened to that thing, and I have no idea what they were talking about. I mean, my God, that's stupid.
Oh, I'm trying still to make sure that I get this right, but I thought it was because I don't know what it's for, but
it doesn't make sense because the people who wrote it don't make sense, and they don't have a clue. I mean,
right.
It's just jibber jabber when you look at it.
Well, it's an example, Johnny, of what's ahead: confusion, head scratching. Are you kidding? That kind of stuff.
Well, it's the inability to really provide a good service. So, like the guy was saying, you've got to pay for things you don't need because they have to lump it all in one group. So we're paying for the maternity coverage for women as well as whatever else is in that package, whether we need it or not.
Right.
And that's how the government is all. They can't even do that. But they're going to start there. And the whole thing, I think we all kind of agree as a nation, probably more so than we've ever agreed on anything lately, that this bill's a mess. I think about 70% of us probably agree on that.
All right, so they gave companies a waiver for a year. Are they going to give individuals that waiver?
Well, they're arguing about that because it wasn't fair to the individual to change the law discriminatorily by letting business off the hook but not the individuals off the hook.
Right.
And of course, there's been a lot of that's gone on lately of just kind of making these edicts. Where we have a process for legislation, Mike, and be nice if we used it, and it'd be nice if we passed some laws that made sense.
Yeah, it is. I'm baffled because I look at the politicians and I really don't understand what they're trying to do. I really don't. I don't know what the goal of these people is. I thought their goal was service. You're supposed to serve the people who put you in office, serve the American country or the country of America, the American people. I don't know what the hell they're doing in Washington.
Well, it looks like they're doing what they think is going to make everybody happy, which is impossible.
You can't do that. No.
You can't. So when you try, you look like an idiot. And they're wanting to make everybody happy so they can keep their job and be a successful politician. It's kind of like doping, Steve. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in the end because it's not what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3, San Francisco, the crash of the 777. They're cleaning it up there.
We're trying to reopen the airport on Sunday, the fourth runway. Currently, we have three runways open, the fourth runway, 28 left. We're scheduled, if all goes well, to open Sunday. We're bringing in 1,000 tons of asphalt to do work on the runway. Well, we're facing delays and cancellations right now. Cancellations have been running about 120 a day, so getting the runway open is very important.
Okay, they talked to the pilot, Johnny. He said there was some light that was right in his eyes, yet the other pilots that were in the cockpit didn't mention anything to investigators about a light, nothing on the black box about the light. It's just one of those too low, too slow, and sad stories.
Yeah, he didn't do it right,
pilot error.
Disaster.
Yeah. All right, George Zimmerman trial goes to the defense today, and then the prosecution, and then the jury.
George Zimmerman's defense team is set to begin their closing arguments this morning. The state has already delivered its case, urging the jury to convict the neighborhood watch leader.
This defendant made the wrong assumption.
The all-female jury could start deliberating as early as this afternoon. They have three options to consider: guilty of second-degree murder, guilty of manslaughter, or not guilty. Florida law imposes longer sentences for crimes committed with a gun, so if Zimmerman is found guilty of either manslaughter or second-degree murder, he could end up serving life in prison. In New York, Marianne Rafferty, Fox News.
All right, so a neighborhood watch guy sees a guy he thinks is suspicious. The kid's 17. He's African-American. He's dead. They're trying to sort it all out. Based on everything I've seen, guys, it doesn't look like George Zimmerman would be convicted of anything.
Well, actually, he wasn't going to be convicted of second-degree murder. But they now, as of yesterday, said, well, you can consider manslaughter. Yeah. Mike, I think there's a chance, just because of the nature of the case and the profile, whether we like it or not, there's a chance they're going to convict him of manslaughter.
I think they're trying to appease it's a racial thing, guys. That's what it's come down to. And I think they're trying to appease a certain group of our society by probably putting the manslaughter charge on it. But, you know, and then again, you don't know and I don't know either what the hell happened. So, you know, we're just assuming what happened is what he said happened and this and that. The other guy can't say what happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really don't know. I just, it's just a shame. This thing has become all about race.
No,
and that's
right.
Not right.
We want justice. We want the truth out. And yet this thing has been so political because of the nature of it all.
I think that Mike's right. It's for to appease the people who just don't want to look at the facts of the case, and we don't want to have some sort of a national uprising.
Well,
so they have
I keep looking at this, and they keep showing Zimmerman, and they show this picture of the young kid. Well, I've got a thing. Somebody sent me an email. They showed me the picture of the Trayvon Martin, the way he looked when he was killed. It's not the same person. I mean, really,
right.
I mean,
older,
he's a whole different person.
Yeah.
He's bigger he would be more intimidating.
Same innocent-looking young man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what somebody sent me an email, and that's what it was on it.
Well, to go to the jury this afternoon, they'll decide. They think a verdict will come out this weekend. It's 7:46, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3. Back to conclude our segment with Mike Ditcomb, Brother Johnny, after these messages. It is ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3. I am Stevie J. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. The U.S. military blew through $34 million on a hulking big headquarters in southwestern Afghanistan that probably will never be used by U.S. forces, in an example of government waste that has military commanders fuming. A White House spokesman Jay Carney knew nothing about it. Isn't that an example, Johnny, of we're just too darn big? I mean, that's just $34 million, so what?
Yeah, exactly. It is. Yeah. We are too big, and you wouldn't expect Carney to know anything about it. And $34 million is lunch money.
Yeah.
More.
$34 million dollars on...
I don't know what that percentage that is, Mike, of $3.5 trillion. I got to get my calculator. There's so many there.
Maybe the president didn't even know about it.
No.
Let's face
probably
it, guys.
No. No.
I mean, these things come out of these committees or groups of people or certain... I mean, it's incredible what they come up with. I mean, and the money, the waste is, you know, astounding, the waste. But that's okay because you and I are paying for it.
Well, and see, it's so big. You'll have a $1.1 billion budget for infrastructure in Afghanistan, and of that you want some places for the troops, and so you spend $30 million here and $40 million. It's a different world. And you get numb to it, I think. But we're actually keeping track of it. That's what's bothering. And we're actually sending money in for it. So there's a point where it becomes real at our level, the American people level. And that's where we need to do something about it. And that's what this debate's been picking up about, which is spending too much money.
I mean, we've been covering stories like Benghazi, which is still happening, spying on reporters, the NSA gathering all phone records, this and that, and this, on and on and on. I guess let me reverse this. Johnny, what's going well right now for the United States government?
Let's see. You caught me off guard there. I think we've got too many cooks spoil the broth, Mike. You know, that's an old thing. There's just too many people involved in trying to help us. And it's like, guys, just we got this.
Yeah.
You need to pare it back about 50.
Oh, I tell you what's going good. A women's softball team.
Is that the U.S. women's softball
team? Yeah, that's how they won
the
game.
But that's not the government.
Yeah.
That's
anything in the government, anything in the government that you would say?
No, nothing in government.
I mean, is the economy coming back? The stock market's pretty...
They keep talking about the economy is much better and that the stock market has made quite a recovery, but... I don't know what it means. I mean, how do you really say what it means when you look at the debt we have?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I wrote a letter to Barry Goldwater like 30 years ago. And at the time, we were wrestling with the deficit, and it was nothing like it is today. And he wrote me a one-sentence return. Barry Goldwater said, "I fear for our national deficit. That is my number one concern." And yet, Johnny, we got to be five times what it was when I wrote that letter.
Well, and I don't think that we don't have the same levels of concern. There's a disagreement on how important that
is.
And that's what's going on, where people just aren't worried about it. We've been talking about how we haven't even stopped increasing the amount we're spending.
No.
There's no cut even on the table.
Because they don't believe in the ramifications. Is it kind of like a hurricane headed toward New Orleans? Might be hit or miss, might not, that kind of
thing? It's going to turn or won't hit, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, last few minutes. Hillary Clinton is doing quite well after leaving Secretary of State's spot
4 months after she left office.
It is such a pleasure to be here in Chicago.
Clinton made her first speech to a meeting of the Clinton Global Initiative. The New York Times reports that the $200,000 she commands is comparable to what her husband, the former president, receives. He earned $17 million from speeches last year. She has a packed schedule, events that give her prime exposure and a chance to burnish her image as she considers a possible run for president in 2016. The Times reports that Clinton's political rivals are watching closely for conflicts of interest that could be used against her in a campaign. Steve Knight, Fox News Radio.
I mean, she's going to go out there anyway. She's getting $200,000 per, Johnny? Wow.
That's amazing, and that's the market. Now, see, that's free enterprise, Mike. Somebody's wrong.
Something's wrong. Because I'm a better speaker than both of them.
That's right.
And that don't get nearly that.
I'm not going to get her to speak at the verse of our Christmas party.
I'm coming in for that. You get $200,000. I'll be there.
Mike wants to do that one. I mean, it is remarkable. And listen, everybody... It takes advantage. Sarah Palin's made a fortune since she left governor. I mean, so they all get paid.
Well, but then again, the reason for that is somebody's willing to pay that money to see them.
That's right.
I am not going to do that. Never. I don't care what they have to say.
Well, and that's amazing that Bill made $17 million. That's a good year.
That's amazing. But again, it's when you get these gigs, they want to say, "Hey, who'd you get? I got Mike Ditka." I mean, it's a big.
Oh well, you know, this is incredible. $200,000 a speak. Come on, man.
I mean, we had a.
Come on.
Remember when Dr. Phil was so hot? The Assembly Hall for the Women's Conference paid $84,000 for Dr. Phil, and we just couldn't believe it. And that's $200,000 for Hillary. Wow. And I've got it all lined up anyway. 2016, Hillary Clinton. 2024, Michelle Obama. 2032, Chelsea Clinton. Then you got Sasha Malia. We're covered. All right, we're covered.
I don't know. I'm not going to argue with you.
All right, lastly, in Silvis, Illinois, the John Deere going on. Amazing. Zach Johnson shoots 7-under. So does Camilo Viljagas. These guys, again, so good. We have 5 Illini playing in this tournament, Johnny. 5 Illinois guys
are
in this tournament.
That's fantastic.
It really is. A lot of fun to watch the John Deere. And then John Deere says, come to my tournament, so I have you here, and I'll charter a jet to take you to Great Britain for the British next week. So a lot of guys jump on the airplane from John Deere so they get over. Pretty nice.
Oh, that's a
pretty
great
good
deal.
Gig right there.
Yeah.
That's next week, the British Open.
Yeah, British Open. Where is it played, Mike? Do you know, Murphy? What's
I have no idea.
Near Edinburgh, I know. Because
okay.
We were thinking of going to Edinburgh. And it's the airport, and they want to know if you're coming.
Really? So it's near Edinburgh. And now St. Andrews is 2015, summer 2015. I'd love to go there for that. I mean, you go and you bundle up in July in the British Open. It's crazy. But
it's a neat tournament.
Oh, it is.
Well, I'll tell you something, guys. I played a lot of those courses, though. They're not any better than our public tree courses over here.
Yeah.
Except the history of them.
Yeah, right.
And the name. I understand all that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right, guys, we'll leave it there. I'll call you on Monday. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for your insight on all these issues. It's a pleasure. I'll call you Monday.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
Take care, guys.
Mike.
God bless.
God bless you. Thank you. It's Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny.